following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, aloha, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee, episode 307, right here on tap. Does that work? I've been watching sports. That's what they say on sports radio, sports television. It's coming up on tap, baby. How about those Memphis Tigers? University of Memphis Tigers football played in the Cotton Bowl, got beat. Hey, we love them anyway. Congratulations. Y'all had a hell of a season. Great job there. So there's that. And of course, Tiger basketball still. Why am I talking sports? Because I brought it up. I don't know. Hey, we're wrapping up 2019. This is probably this. What is today? Today is the 26th of. No, it isn't. Today is the 29th. I was looking at my calendar. I got a new calendar here, and I was looking at the wrong part of it. Today's the 29th of December of 2019. It's the last Sunday of the month. It's the last podcast of the year, of the decade. Yep, we're getting out of the 19s, going into the teens. We're getting out of the teens. We're getting into the 20s. Can you believe it? Sure you can. 100 years ago, it was the roaring 20s. What will it be like now? We're in the throes of all sorts of wild things that are going on. Is it going to be out of control? Is it going to be nuts? Is it going to be crazy? It's going to be vastly different. 100 years have passed, my friends. A lot has happened in those 100 years. Think about it. A lot has happened, and it's the progress of society. It's the progress of the universe. It's the progress of man in general. And, you know, be that what it is, we just go on. We look at the time. We look at the calendar. We go, oh, my God, it's 2020 already. Oh, my God, what happened to us? It's just another day of the week, man. It's another page turned. I use the calendar as a note-taking device. That's kind of what I do. And, you know, you mark certain things. Like, for example, this being episode 307. Recorded on the Sunday, the 29th of December. New Year's going to be here, of course, and that's the big deal. I mean, New Year's Eve will be here Tuesday. Got a big thing happening at Radio Memphis. You'll want to tune in for that for New Year's Eve there. It'll be fun. And then New Year's Day, of course, is Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, day one of 366. It's a leap year. Yeah, I believe it is. I think 2020 is a leap year. So we get, yeah, it is. It is a leap year. One of the people on the staff of Radio Memphis is getting married on February the 29th. So congratulations. That'll be big. There you go. I'm just rambling on here. Just, you know, 3 minutes into it and I'm just sitting here wasting everybody. No, I'm not wasting people's time. Hey, listen, speaking of Radio Memphis, I might as well use the time to plug it. That should make everybody happy. Coming up this Friday, 10 p.m. Central Time, on Radio Memphis, Gunther and Martin present. It's a brand new show. It's making its debut on Radio Memphis, Friday night, 10 p.m. Central Time. If you're into the ghost stories, if you're into the monsters, if you're into maybe some conspiracy theories, if you're into Bigfoot, you're into all that kind of fun stuff. I know there's a ton of those shows out there. But these guys are doing it. They've been working together before, a couple of years now, in the past, they were on another show and now they've decided that they wanted to get back into the game. So Gunther and Martin present. It's Stephen Gunther and Joel Martin. It's a 1 hour show. That's a novel idea. It's a 1 hour show, happens every Friday on radio-memphis.com on any device. So if there's a little something there for you there. So, you know, there is that. Also, this year, the Heavyweight Chumps wrapped up their first season of programming with Radio Memphis. And, all of their season is going to be in the on-demand here pretty quick, too. That's a fun show. They run on Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. Central. So they're going to be in a little bit of a hiatus. They'll be back sometime in February, something like that. And so there you go, kiddos. Coming up, we'll talk. I want to talk about one of the big innovative things that have happened over the past several years that has largely shaped the way we view our media. I talk a lot about media here because I'm really critical of it, and we should be, by God. Somebody's got to take on the role of the ombudsman, and in this particular case, it'll be me because I'm going to bitch a little bit about something that I think we all sort of share some common ground with. It's not necessarily an unpopular thought, although that'll probably happen a little bit later on too. So as it's known, familiar ground, we're walking right back into it. We'll tell you about it. It's next right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Several years ago, the immigrant and I decided that we'd had enough of cable television, as many people were doing at this time. I want to say, what is it now, 2020? So I want to say about 2015, 2016, about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, we said, screw you. There was a movement that I got kind of sucked into on this. Nothing wrong with that. We're all looking at it. We all pointed our greasy accusatory fingers at these cable companies that were sucking a couple hundred bucks a month out of us for a set list of channels that you may watch upon your cable-driven device. And meanwhile, while all of this, because we'd had cable for a long time. I mean, cable has been around, I guess, technically through the 80s, late 70s, early 80s. There was a thing called CATV. It doesn't mean cable TV. It means community antenna television, which is sort of a little historic trivial note about it. CATV, you may have seen this, community antenna television. What this was, you'd have a place, a building, if you will, that had a bunch of satellite dishes that would have other antennas, and they would receive signal from all over the place, and they would take all of the stuff and they'd run it into their system, and then they would feed everybody that was willing to pay a subscription fee to have access to what that was happening. Hence, cable television. And if you'll remember, those of you may be old enough to remember, in the early days, there was a box that would sit upon your TV, and it had a slide knob on it. Remember that? It was usually like a tan or brown, but it was an ugly thing. And it had a slide knob, and it went from like left to right. And on the left side would be like channel 2. And then on the right side, it'd be like channel 35. And that's what you got. And you have to, if you wanted to change channel, you'd walk over there and you flip it to the, and it would click. It was the early days of CATV. That's what it was. And you got to see some interesting things. You got to see, of course, your networks, your major networks. But the big thing was that you had WGN out of Chicago. You had TBS, WTBS out of Atlanta. You had that stuff. They were so, wow, we were seeing stuff from other places. So that was kind of cool. And then, along came HBO and then the scrambled channels and all of that weirdness. But nevertheless, that was the early days of cable television. And here we are now, fast forward, 2019, about to be 2020, and cable is against the ropes. They're having some problems. They're trying to compete. I'll have to hand it to them. But a lot of subscribers had said, they put their foot down and said, nope, we're not doing this anymore because you people have gotten way too expensive, very little competition, and you're pigeonholing us into content we don't really want. Why are we paying for channels we don't want to watch? Meanwhile, a different version of a version of CATV happened, community antenna television, called the internet. Oh, my goodness. Things were starting to happen. Now we had access to everything and anything. And now there it was. If you wanted to watch something very particular, you could go online and find it, more than likely. And YouTube became sort of a forefront for repeated stuff, on-demand stuff, if you will. And there that was. And then there were some other smart people who decided that they would put together a streaming package deal type thing where they can watch movies and rent movies. You know, remember that's the birth of Netflix, which, by the way, wanted to buy Blockbuster at one point, and Blockbuster said no. Wow. Tough shit. Any rate, so that happened. Hulu came around that time. And, of course, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, put threw his head into this mess and said, get your TV covered right here, man. Because Amazon owns about, what, two-thirds of the internet? And when I talk about that, when I say that nobody owns the internet. When I'm saying that they own two-thirds of the internet, they own two-thirds of the equipment that bring you the internet. They own so many servers all around the world that people pay rent to. That's where a lot of Bezos' money has come from, amongst other things, of course. But yeah, Amazon they have the hardware. So they've already got the infrastructure, and they're like, oh, we need some programming, and boom, we're there. And now look what's going on. So those of us that decided we'd had enough of cable television said, screw the cable. We tell Comcast, shove it. We're done. Take your box. Take your shit. The only thing we want is an internet connection. Well, I remember my conversation with Comcast over that very subject, and they got touchy about it. They were like, no. In fact, they got indignant. I remember they got kind of pissy. I said, look, all I want is an internet connection. I'll gladly pay you some money monthly to access the internet. I don't need your that was not possible. They threw a hissy fit, as did I. You should do the adult thing. And you say, this is dumb. And they're like, well, why do you not want our television? Because it sucks, and it's expensive, and I'm done. And we've all been there. I know there's a good number of you that still have cable television. Or they have satellite TV. Why, I don't know, but that's your business. That's fine. It's up to you. So the wife and I sat down and we did the math and we looked at it. We looked at all sorts of things and we looked at the possibilities. Do we even need this? Because we get our network stuff for free anyway, thanks to the Federal Communications Commission, which makes sure that local television, all, you know, your networks are broadcasting over the air, or OTA as they call it. And if you've got an antenna, you can plug that into your TV and boom, there it is in glorious HD. And it only costs you the price of an antenna and a television. How about that? Antenna, I think we paid like, I don't know, for a decent indoor antenna, it was like $25, something like that. I spent a little bit more, got up to about the $40 range and got an external antenna the way my old man used to have, you know. I put it up on a pole and aimed it in the spots where it's put in. Wow, there it is. It does good. Right. And for a few extra bucks, I bought a TiVo. Because you don't have to rent that thing. You can buy it outright. And when you buy the TiVo, hey, boom, now you're DVR and stuff, just like the old days. Now, the only difference is you don't get as much content, right? So enter the on-demand services, Hulu, Amazon, Netflix, the big three. And here we were, happy as clams. Got everything we need. If I want HBO, HBO offers a deal, so it's just like any other premium paid service. You pay for it. So next, from going from like, we had a pretty exorbitant cable television bill. It was like $200, something like that, maybe more. It was internet and cable television we had to works because they kept throwing it at us to keep us around. But it balanced out to about $200 a month. And all of a sudden, that got down to like 30. And it's like, look at everything that we've got for like $30 a month, right? We bought the hardware, so there's the out-of-pocket there. But beyond that, we own that, so we're not paying rent for that. We don't have to pay those ridiculous FCC taxes or any of that other stuff, the cable taxes, the nickel and dime fee, the, hey, you're wearing a green shirt tax day, that kind of thing. You don't have that, right, per se. And so we got into the Roku thing, which offers a billion channels. Granted, a lot of it's crap, but still, it's there. It's entertaining. We don't watch as much television as one would think anyway, because we're all stuck on our noses in our devices now. And like I said, we were all happy as clams. If we wanted to watch a movie, there it was on Netflix or on Amazon or on Hulu. If we wanted to catch a television show, a network show, if you wanted to watch, a late night TV talk show, you could find it on over the air, or you could pick it up off of your DVR or whatever the case may be. Your life doesn't really change. And if you're a sports nut, that was the only problem. because sports is being, it's a complicated world. I mean, you got broadcast rights and games and stuff, and it gets really weird and convoluted, and it's way too much to get into for this program, at least this episode. But you have a clearinghouse, something like ESPN. ESPN offers you a deal for $6 a month. And so you see, okay, now we got room to work with. Now I can add a $6 a month package. We've got ESPN. Plus they have their on-demand stuff. So there. Most of the major sporting activities that we're going to be watching is going to happen on a major network anyway, whether it's the World Series, the Super Bowl, college basketball, the Final Four and all that stuff. It all happens on CBS, I believe. And then you got Fox, which carries a lot of baseball and football, and CBS and NBC have ABC and NBC have golf and whatever. You got what you need. And it's all there. And like I said, we were happy. Happy as clams. We were just pleased as punch that we had found a way, sort of in a way, to have beaten the man. That's what it felt like. Because, you know, when you cut the cable, you do that. You stand there with your hands on your hips and you tell the guy, come get my things. Or your things, as the case may be, because I'm done with you. I'm done paying these prices. I'm done having you in my wallet. Go, be gone. And so there it is. They went and they were gone. Now, I'm smelling something in the air again, and it kind of stinks. We're back in familiar ground, it seems. What's going on, you ask? Ha! Oh, what isn't? All the companies, all the providers are going, hey, wait a minute, we're missing out. We're missing out on some money. CBS, I'm going to point a finger at them first because that's kind of where this kind of is. They're an excellent example of this. CBS decides, no, wait a minute. We got all this programming, right? We got the CBS network of television stations all over the place. And we're getting now is ad money. We're not getting subscription money. That's the sweet tit right there, the subscription money. So why not, let's just create an app for Roku or Apple or whatever you want to do. And then we make them pay, I don't know, pick a number. And they go, $7 a month? And that seems reasonable enough because it's $7. And we'll give them everything. So they created CBS All Access. And here it was. Everything that CBS has is available on demand for $7 a month. Now, here on the surface, it's starting to sound like a pretty sweet deal. And then to get those that were still stalwarts, much like myself, and I do not have I don't have the CBS thing because whatever, it'll become abundantly clear momentarily. They make programming now exclusively for that. So what happens? They blow the dust off of an old standard, Star Trek, and they reboot, if you will, the next generation. They got this new thing called Picard, which looks intriguing, of course, but it's sucking people in. Well, if you want to watch the Picard thing, you've got to have the all-access thing. And now, wait a minute, I'm paying $7 a month for that. Well, this seems sort of fishy. NBC is doing the same thing. They're going to call it the Peacock, which, pardon me, I think y'all should have renamed it something else. But I get it. And they're going to go up head-to-head to CBS in the streaming department with their thing. Well, NBC also happens to own the Golf Channel and a few other minor properties. Univision, I think, is part of theirs. And it's all owned by Comcast, by the way. NBC is. ABC still hasn't, I don't know, I'm sure they're plotting it. Fox already has, I think, their news stuff. So anyway, now everybody's going, now wait a minute, we want a piece of the pie. We want a part of that, like I said, that sweep subscription tit money is what that is. So how do we get that? Well, they're looking at you, the consumer, and they're saying, well, you want it a la carte, so you can buy and get what you want. But the thing is, our TV bills are going up. It used to be 200. We said no. We got a couple of apps. We got a few things we can watch, and we're having a fine time. Now they're pulling out of a lot of this stuff. Hulu is a good example. Hulu came in at $5 a month, and they gave you a shit ton of stuff. A ton of stuff. And it's good, you know, for what it is. But Disney acquired a good chunk of it. Oh, great. You know what else Disney has, aside from everything else on the planet? They have ABC Television and they own ESPN. And now they own, I think it's 2/3 of Hulu. Something along those lines. I'm not exact on this and I don't really care. You can look it up if you want to know the math. And now Disney's got their Disney Plus thing, which means if you have Hulu and whatever Disney product was on there, they're pulling it off of there and making you go to the Disney Plus thing for how much? I don't know, $7 a month, something like that. Which I don't have that because I don't have children. And I don't, there's not really a whole lot of Disney properties that have really turned my crank. Not missing anything. Sorry. You and your baby Yoda people can just go sit down. So they got this deal. You can get Disney Plus and Hulu and Hulu Live television. You can get all that for now $50 a month. Now wait the fuck, back the truck up. I'm going to pay $50 a month on top of my Netflix subscription, my Amazon Prime subscription. I know it's cheap, but still, you're getting back up into what we used to pay. The reason why we got away from this shit in the first place was we wanted the freedom, but we were denied that as far as our content came. That's why I'm sitting here and I'm telling you people, we're in familiar ground. What are we going to do about it? I don't know. You vote with your wallet, really. You don't have to buy that stuff. Oh, but I got to see the baby Yoda. If that's the case, if baby Yoda is worth $7 a month to your ass, then I guess get it. I guess that's where it is. It was the Mandalorian, whatever it is. If you got to have it, you got to have it. You got to pay for it. But I'm the only one here that seems to be somewhat being reasonable about all of this and sitting there, have we not been through this path before? Have we not walked this line? Have we not seen these signs before? That our shit is getting hijacked yet again. It's understandable. We knew it was coming. I saw it coming down the road years ago. I said, you know, we're gonna enjoy this while it lasts because there's gonna be some corporate greed that's going to stick their head in there and they're going to go, wait a minute, we're missing out. This is how we got to fix this. How do we fix this? What do we do to fix this? This is what we got to do. What's the story? We're losing some revenue here. Not to be outdone, mind you, Comcast, who now has this whole thing. We can hook you up with a Comcast streaming app and you can get everything that you had before and it's still, it's only $200 a month or whatever they're charging for it. I don't know. I haven't researched it because I don't give a shit. But the cable companies are bound and determined to keep their heads above water because they felt like they have been ripped off for so much. Now let's back up a moment, okay? Let's just think about this for just a second. Let's do some math, shall we? I've got my handy dandy calculator here in front of me. Let's just say the average cable bill, all right, average, high and low. Let's say the average cable bill was, say, I don't know, all told, $110 a month, okay? Multiply that by 12. That's $1,320 a year that one household would be spending. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. So you've got $1,320 a year. And let's just say across the United States. Now there's 165 million people in the country. So obviously that's, let's just say we'll multiply this 1320. Let's say 20 million. You know, it's like, where do you come up with that? I'm just pulling it out of my ass. That says 20 million households with cable television per year. It's more than my calculator. It's 26,400,000,000 a year. Think about that. That's what the cable industry was worth. $26,400,000,000 a year. I don't know about you, and I was being conservative with these numbers, but I don't know about you, but that's a shit ton of money. And I know the households that had the cable television is different, and you know, I didn't include satellite, but it's all part of that. That's how big of a pot of money we're looking at here. This is what it really stood for, and this is what this meant. And now slowly that was being chipped away. All the nerds were realizing, oh, the internet. Oh, we got stuff on the internet. We got television. Oh, the Kodi service, KODI. Look that one up. You'll be highly amused and very intrigued. So there's all of these things that are going on that are chipping away at that $26 billion a year industry. And like I said, I'm being very conservative there, so it's probably much higher. It's probably double that. Say $50 billion. That's still a shit ton of money. $50 billion a year, whatever the case may be. And they're like, we're hurting. y'all motherfuckers ain't going to have to fire a maid. You know, that's not... Still, that's just an astronomical amount of money for some stupid television show. And there's still shit on TV. I don't understand. Flirty Dancing? Really? Come on. The Masked Singer? Stop it. Oh, God, shoot me now. But that's what you're paying for, you see. With zero control. Now, we had a moment to sit there and go, you know what? If we don't watch it, they'll know, right? If we watch it, they will know and they'll make more because it knows they make money off it. They sell ads off of it because that's just subscription fees. That has nothing to do with the advertisement that comes behind it. You're talking about money that's going to get pushed up near the $1 trillion mark. All right? That's a lot of money. Oh, Rick, it can't be that accurate. Probably. I don't know. Sit down with a calculator. Correct me if I'm wrong. But here we were. Happy as clams. It was fun while it lasted, I guess. Oh, Rick, you sound like you're giving up. I'm not. There's more than one way to skin a cat, and I'll tell you how. Don't buy into the bullshit. You know, if they're going to sit there and say, oh, but if you want to see Baby Yoda, you got to get this. You know what? I don't necessarily need to see all of that crap. I really don't. YouTube Premium, I think, at one point was going to be like $40 a month. And people balked at that. Like, what? And now they're saying, well, the original content now, the YouTube Premium content is now going to be available in the regular YouTube channels. Well, duh, they know they can sell advertisement based off of it. And that's fine. I'm fine with that. That's the whole point. We've talked about this before. What is better or what is worse? Is it advertisement-based programming that costs you nothing to access, minus your internet bill, or subscription-based content, which would cost you X number of dollars a month to not have those commercials? Right, let's take a look at something really small scale, like this program from Radioland. If you'll notice, there are two commercials. There's one sort of at the beginning and one near toward the end of the show. I do that so I don't have to turn to the people that enjoy this program and say, look, why don't you give me $1 an episode? And I'm there. I mean, I could easily do that. But see, that's just it. Everybody's doing that now. Everybody's being nickel and dimed to death. Oh, we could just do it in an automatic withdrawal out of my account. No. No, I don't like that either. Because now I just don't feel like I have any control. I mean, seriously. Where's the control now? Now you're just sucking money from me anyway, and you're giving me something that I may not really like. Because if I subscribe to something, or if I like something and I follow it and I pay attention to the show, and all of a sudden, and let's say it didn't cost me anything. Let's just say it's ad driven. Let's like this show. And if it's not turning my crank, I can go away from it and I don't have to worry about the fact that because I've subscribed to it, because I pay money for it, I feel like I'm now obligated to it. And that's what's happened. Now we feel like we're sort of, well, you know, I'm kind of obligated with Amazon Prime because, you know, we spend $100 a year on it. Well, you know, to make up for it, at least Bezos says, we'll cover your shipping when you buy off of Amazon. Well, you know, how can we go wrong with that? Now I don't feel so bad if I don't spend any time watching it. All the decisions, the choices, the places that we've been before, and here we are again. Like I said, it's familiar ground. What are you going to do, huh? Few things in this world used to be as pure as just entertainment. buy a ticket, enjoy the show, that kind of thing. It's still sort of the same, but now all the tickets are gone way up and the shows have gone really down. And if I want to see something particular, I have to go do this and I have to jump through all these hoops. And now I am back in the, you know, and somewhere in some ivory tower in some corporate office, there's a corporate cable television guy who's rubbing his hands together. And he's sitting there like Peter Lorre, and he's sitting there, got this thing, and someday they'll come back. They will come back. You hear me? They'll come back. And they might be right. If the deal is good, if the competition starts to sort itself out. What if somebody in cable and satellite TV or wherever sat there and said, hey, let us do the math for you. You're spending, you know, this much. You got 7 different deals, 8 different deals. You're spending all that. Hey, we'll beat that price and we'll give you what you're looking for. Yeah, we'll hook you up, bro. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call. And now we've turned into junkies. You know, we're back into that whole thing again. Because that's what's designed to do. Yeah, the internet is, I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's a great leveling. It really is. It leveled the playing field for a lot of things. Radio, television, videos, games, everything. Shopping, groceries, deliveries, all of this stuff. It became the great leveling field. And now we're still sort of trying to wrap our heads around it. Since about 1986, we've been still trying to figure it out. What the hell hath we wrought onto society? And now look at us. Did we progress any? Yeah, we progressed a long way. Maybe the 20s will be roaring after all.
Memphis' number one alternative smoke shop is your number one stop for all your CBD products, and now is your stop for Kratom. Get into the store and see what Kratom can do for you. Plus, Wizards has fall deals throughout the entire store. Woodwick candles, watches from Swell, tarot cards, figurines, and so much more. Take a look and order online at their new website, wizardsmemphis.com. 1999 Madison Avenue in Midtown. Open 10 to 10 every day. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related products.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
New year, new me. I'm only going to focus on me. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just going to walk the walk for 2020. And I'm not going to be fat. And I'm not going to drink so much. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm going to... Oh, shut up. We see it every year. The only people that benefit from your weaknesses are gym memberships. Think about it. How much money these people must make. Oh, they make you sign the contracts, of course, but there's always a way to get out of them. Oh, no. We always going to be the same person that we are. And that's what you got to do. If it was that important for you to make the change in the first place, you wouldn't have waited till January 1st to make all these changes, right? You wouldn't wait for the new year. You'd do it now. You'd have done it a long time ago. You'd have done it maybe, I don't know, in the spring. New Year's resolutions, my ass. I resolve to be much more of the same person that I've always been.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. Next time we get together, it'll be 2020. Yes, it will. The year will be 2020, which the novelty glasses will be interesting how to pull that off. A little bit of trivia for you. Speaking of the new year and the novelty glasses, which you tend to see on television when they do the big ball dropping of in Times Square in New York, which I find it sort of amusing that they drop balls. Where I come from, someone's ball dropping means something completely different, if you know what I mean. And this year, the ball, it's a big crystal ball. And it's interesting. It's all made of different panels. It's all made by a company. They spend a shit ton of money on this thing. It's got a bunch of lights and stuff in it. Really weird. The pattern that's in it are all pineapples. I don't know why that is. Look it up. You can see the picture of it. There's some up close personal pictures of the thing. It's got pineapples all over it. Is there any semblance to this? No. It's not a thing. Which, by the way, I read an interesting thing, kind of an unpopular thought, that going out to celebrate New Year's is, it's become increasingly hazardous, and it's not so much, it's It's a young man's game. I get it. Been there, done that. Still sort of like to do it in a way. But the reality is this. If you go to Times Square, you've got to get there at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I'm not kidding. There's so many people that go to this thing. And when you get there, you are uncomfortably close to all of humanity. You are more than shoulder to shoulder. You are, you know, you're cheek to cheek. And you're there like that for hours and hours and hours. And you cannot leave. People, when you watch the broadcast of the ball dropping in Times Square, remember this, that all of those people you see crowded down there, the really smart ones, which are most of them who have been there before, are wearing diapers. They sure are, because you can't get a drink when you're in there. You can't take nothing in there. It's nuts. It's crazy. And yet they pack it in. I don't understand what drives people. I guess it's like, well, I was there. Now, I've never done it. Don't want to. I did New Year's Eve several times down on Beale Street here in Memphis. And that's an experience. And yeah, it doesn't compare with New York. I get it. But it's still, there's a lot of people in a small space. And this last time I did it, the weather was just brutal. So we decided from here on out, every New Year's Eve, and since local television doesn't cover it anymore, they just don't. They refuse to. I don't know why. So you're stuck with watching the Dick Clark New Year's Eve thing, and Dick's been dead for a while now, so it's kind of strange, and you got to see his clone, his mini-me, Ryan Seacrest, how he got in the business, I don't know, but he's got the gig. So we just do everything over at Radio Memphis. Having said that, radio-memphis.com, starting at about 5 or 6 p.m. Central Time, radio-memphis.com, the New Year's Eve big throwdown, will be live music, there'll be chats, there'll be fun, it'll be amusing, So there you go. That, you know, unpopular thought as it is, I kind of dig New Year's Eve because it's the symbolic turning of the page. It's the symbolic closing of the chapter. It's the symbolic motion that we are now progressing, and we have for a moment a hope and a dream that what we are about to face will be better than what we came through. And we always do this every year. And you know what? For some of us, that's the case. For some others, it may not be. And we try and say, well, maybe this year I'm going to try and be a little bit more, I don't know, sensitive to that. I'm going to try and be nicer. I'm going to try and be a more pleasant human being. That's a pretty lofty thing, I know, for a lot of you. But that's the way it is. So, kids, it is my wish to you before we sign it off for 2019 for this program, that you all have a very good new year. Enjoy yourselves. Have fun. Try not and be a dick about anything. Be nice to your fellow man. Give a kiss. Shake a hand. That sort of thing. And live it deeply. And enjoy it. Seriously. Just don't sit there and beat yourself up over 2019. You got 2020 to look forward to. It's just like anything else. Don't worry about yesterday. You can't do anything about that. Don't worry about tomorrow. There's nothing happening there. Worry about the moment. Enjoy that, and that's the best that you can ever hope for. If you're still alive and still breathing, great. If not, then we'll see you on the other side. Well, that was morose. Y'all be sweet. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, all right? Happy New Year to you. I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.